This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN?
Oh,
what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits. Enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform, Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing. You should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
You are listening to the iFanboy Special Edition Podcast on Superman Unbound. iFanboy podcast on Superman Unbound. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and I have assembled once again the iFanboy Animation Brain Trust, Chris Niesman.
Hi.
And Paul Montgomery.
Hello.
And Ryan Haupt is not here.
Boo.
He had to catch a flight. Couldn't make it. He also missed the last one.
Special science business.
He's out splitting atoms.
He's on Animation Brain Trust.
Extended leave.
Extended leave for the moment.
He's having his eyeballs plucked out and bionic ones put in, and he is
assimilating. That was grim.
I know, shit.
I just remembered that. That was weird.
Ryan is assimilating the consciousness of thousands of worlds as we speak. God.
Superman Unbound is the latest release from the DC Universe Animated Original line of films. This is the 16th film.
According to Wikipedia, that doesn't sound right to me.
It's a lot.
I guess it is.
I'm looking at the whole list right here, and there's a lot of them. We've done a show on every one.
Wow. Have we really? Wow.
You guys weren't on all of them. In the beginning, I think the first one, it was the first couple, it was me and the guys, and then they stopped watching them. And then we formed the Brain Trust, and that's where we are
nice.
Today.
We picked up the mantle.
And every time the readers ask if we're going to do it, yes, we're going to do it.
We've done 16 of them. So this is the latest film. This is the first since Bruce Timm left, right? Bruce Timm was the producer on this one?
Yeah, he was not listed on this. He was.
This is also, I guess, the one they're banking on being the tie-in to Man of Steel.
Sure.
Because they did a Green Lantern one when the Green Lantern film came out and that kind of thing. So
it's also part of their weird 2013 Superman in Bondage thing. So we've got Unbound, we've got Unchained.
Yeah.
I wonder if this will also be better than the major motion picture.
Well, this is based on a comic book series. This is based on the Superman Brainiac storyline from Action Comics that Jeff Johns wrote and Gary Frank drew. One of my favorite Superman stories in recent years. One of the stories from that great run that Jeff Johns had on Action Comics, along with Gary Frank, along with the Legion of Superheroes story. Yeah. Just wonderful comics. So this is the adaptation. Let's just jump into it. And there'll be spoilers if you haven't seen the movie. I don't know why you're listening if you haven't, but if you are, there'll be spoilers. I didn't really like this one. I was kind of bored by it.
I can see where you would be bored. I was fine with it. I thought it was kind of a little rinse and repeat in the plot. It's Superman fights Brainiac. They go back and forth, and he gets the upper hand.
You know, let me pull back. I don't like it. Seems too harsh. I thought the parts were greater than the whole, and I enjoyed parts of it. But other parts of it, I kind of started to wander.
There were parts. I gave it what a 3.5, and I was a little in the text review. I was a little there are times where I was listless, and part of that is the visual storytelling, the visual style of it. Is that the like for some reason the Superman entries in this series are not usually animated as well as the other things, and Superman's a little bit stiff, and the action is a bit stiff, and this is Superman fighting a bunch of really kind of boring robots, the Brainiac androids, whatever you want to call them. And so that it wasn't particularly thrilling, but the character stuff got me. And that's
my takeaway was that I thought it was a much better Supergirl movie than a Superman movie.
Yeah.
And because just what Paul said, because of the character stuff, she had way better character moments than Superman did.
That was one of the things that I thought was greater than the whole was that the characters were kind of in, not Superman so much, but Supergirl and Lois Lane were.
It's a Lois Lane movie. That's my takeaway.
I even liked Brainiac to the point where I thought this has got to be a good case to make Brainiac a live action villain at some point soon.
That's the thing. They use Brainiac so much in the animated shows. We've seen so many incarnations, and that's sort of what you were talking about. Like, we've seen the Brainiac story a bunch, just introducing Brainiac and taking Kandor and just different incarnations of that. And the last regular DC animation movie before this line, I think, was Brainiac Attacks.
Yes,
and that was like, that was weird because it was like part of it was based on Superman the animated series, but then part of it was a little bit of a departure, I think. But anyways, I thought a really strong Brainiac, and they keep using Lex Luthor in all the live action movies and trying to make something out of real estate schemes.
It's a land grab. It all does come back to land grabs, though, if you think about it.
He's grabbing land literally in this one. So in the story, it's the familiar Brainiac story. He has come to Earth to take Metropolis. He's already taken Kandor. Supergirl's freaked out because she was, she was there when the attack happened. She's got like PTSD, Brainiac PTSD.
It's the survivor's guilt, yeah.
And so Superman has to not only save Metropolis and Earth from Brainiac, he also has to rescue the citizens of Kandor. I liked all that stuff. It just, as a compelling whole, I didn't find there was a lot to grab onto. And I'm not sure why. I literally just finished watching it, so I haven't had time to process it, but
what I think is really funny / kind of interesting is that Jeff Johns and Gary Frank's Action Comics was very much a continuation of the Donner films. Mm-hmm. Gary Frank was drawing Christopher Reeves.
Right.
Those characters were so modeled after the movies, and it felt very conscious to break away from that in the character designs, that they wanted very little to no connection to the Donner films. And so that's a little bit of a breakdown for me, because that was kind of the kitschy, interesting part of John's run on action, is that he was picking up the Donner stuff. I mean, did you guys...
Now, well, Paul, you, one of the things, we talked about this, you know, as we normally do in the last show when we preview the next movie.
Right.
And you were really, we saw the featurette, you were excited about the designs, you liked the whole sort of, you know, 60s style that they brought to the characters.
Right.
But you didn't end up loving the animation. Did you still find that the designs worked for you?
The designs are a mixed bag for me. I think a lot of what I saw and liked was some of the concept art for Kandor, and that carries over into this. Kandor looks very sort of, I don't know how to describe it. Like there's a bit of a Jetsons quality to it, and it's very, mm-hmm. but it's very sort of, you know.
Welcome 60s. To the future.
Yeah, World of Tomorrow kind of thing, and so it's like that was kind of interesting. I didn't love the Superman design, and I liked what Matt Bomer did with what he had. And I liked that he changed his pitch when he went from Superman to Clark Kent. But his Clark Kent was a little bit too put together for my liking. You know, one of the things that was really good about Superman Returns was how he captured Clark Kent and his sort of I don't know.
Disheveled.
He's not a homeless person.
It's Frank Quietly's Clark Kent in All-Star. He needs to be frumpy, you know, and it's like all of a sudden, you know, and he's the best at drawing the big kind of, you know, I don't want to say pudgy Superman. He looks powerful, but kind of rounded. But then it made for this perfect kind of like, you know, slop-shouldered, frumpy Clark Kent.
Clark is not frumpy. He's not wearing. Yeah, he's not in those depictions. In the depictions I really like, he's not wearing his own clothes. That's what it looks like. It's he's wearing hand-me-downs for the first time, or he's borrowing somebody's shirt. He doesn't look like he lives in that, you know, in that suit. And with this, he's got sort of like designer sunglasses or
little
like,
GQ, eyeglasses. Little too GQ.
A little bit. And then like everything's really tailored. Yeah, and then in my text review, I sort of said, well, maybe you could say that that's a bit of Lois's influence, because this is an incarnation where Lois knows that he's Superman and Clark Kent, and they are in a relationship, although her relationship with Clark is not public until the end of this, which becomes the main thrust, the main emotional arc, aside from what Supergirl is up to in this story, because they jettisoned one of the touchstones that, if you remember the Action Comics run, was at the end of it, Jonathan Kent kicks the farm. Mm-hmm. And that is not, he is safe and sound, snoring under a blanket on a recliner chair in this.
I think that's, it was probably needed. It would have added,
I would say it's wise. Yeah.
Yeah. A whole new dimension to the story, which we wouldn't have time to deal with.
When I saw that and I was like, they're not going to do it, are they? Like, cause they're not putting, for a 75-minute runtime, they're not putting enough. They're not laying the pipe to do that later on. There's going to be no emotional weight, and if they do it, oh my god, that's going to be a train wreck. So it was. I think that would have been biting off more than they could chew. So I liked that the focus was then on Lois, and Stana Katic is a really good Lois Lane, and I really like that depiction. And she has one of the best moments. She has the best moment in the movie, and maybe the best moment in this whole series of 16 movies. Like, drop the mic.
it was awesome, and we'll reveal in a second, but I was caught by the moment of, you know, every time I watch these movies, I'm just like, would I share this with a 6-year-old nephew? And this movie is a little graphic, and there are some moments where I'm like, I think that's funny. I don't know if I want a 6-year-old to see that.
Right.
And I don't, that's not fair, because I honestly, and I should feel, you know, gratified. These are being made for us. They're being made for you
PG-13.
Absolutely. And the scene that you're talking about, I'm assuming, is when Lois in the shrunken Metropolis is flipping off the giant Brainiac. Right. Right.
Yep.
Both hands, double flip.
It was awesome. But damn it, the first thing that goes into my head was like, oh, I don't know if I can watch this with my nephew now. Not that I would. Right. And then I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I think it's funny.
It's funny because when Paul was watching this originally, he was IMing me during it, and there was one point where he freaked out. And that was for this moment, but he didn't tell me what it was. So the whole time I'm watching him, I'm trying to figure out what made Paul freak out. And I hadn't gotten to that point yet, and I was like, man, I must not be so sensitive as Paul. I just must not freak. And it happened, and I went, whoa.
I just can't believe they got away with it. It doesn't offend my sensibilities, no, but it was like, well, you know, like Warner let it go, and you know, Superman is a cherished property, and so, but I think it's perfectly in character for Lois, and I think it's I don't know, it just it made the movie for me. And then even Brainiac has the, like, he does the eyebrow lift, and it was like, he probably doesn't know what that means. I don't know if they do that on other planets that he's assimilated, but I think he saw it for the audacity, and it's a great little moment.
You know, I had mentioned, you know, offhandedly the Ryan getting his eyes plucked out. You know, they kind of set the tone in the opening credits of showing Brainiac go through his transformation from organic being to, you know, kind of Borg, whatever he was. And there's this, you know, really graphic moment of his eyes being ripped out of his skull and bionic eyes being implanted. So it's like, you know, right off the bat, you're like, okay, this is not a kid's aimed movie.
I mean, that was some Cronenberg shit. Like, it was some weird science, and like like the weird kind of visual effects. They had like this pink and green sort of aesthetic to it, and it was like this very like Tales from the Crypt Keeper kind of thing going on. And I was like, wow, that's a really interesting stylistic choice. And then it's only really for that. For the end credits, but I'm like, man, that like they sort of had their A-list animation team working on that scene. Like the further you get into the movie, the higher quality the fight scenes are. Mm-hmm. There's some weird stuff that like there's this one where it's towards the end. It's in like the third act, and it's Superman fighting off the androids, and they're doing
that.
These like sort of like Japanese like freeze
hated
frame.
That. It was so. It was so out of sync with everything else that was going on in the movie up to that point. I'm like, where's the Speed Racer Johnny Quest stuff? It was very out of sync. It was very
because we talk about it being like the taking sort of a page from anime some of the time, but that's more like modern anime that they're doing, like especially in Gotham Knight, and because that's made by some anime houses. But with this, it's very old school. Yeah, like Speed Racer. It was like these slow motion punches, and then they freeze frame, and it's sort of like what Ang Lee was trying to do with the Hulk movie, where he's trying to put in these weird stylistic flourishes, and it was just kind of took me out of the thing.
Yeah, there was.
I agree.
It was a strange movie. I'm looking at the list of all the movies, and all this is the fourth Superman solo film,
right?
Not mm-hmm. one that didn't also involve Batman. So Superman versus the Elite was all about what does it mean to be Superman. Mm-hmm. All Star Superman is about Superman coming to terms with his own death. Superman Doomsday was about him fighting for his life. I don't know what this was about. And I think that was what I had a trouble with the movie was I didn't have an emotional hook into it. And it didn't seem like it was they stripped away the elements of the story of the comic to make this movie, but it seems like they didn't strip it away to something that was cohesive.
Yeah, because in the comic it was about him coming to terms with, you know, his home. Mm-hmm. What was his home? And whenever they took
it dealt with that a little, but they didn't really drive it home enough to the point where
it was about Pa Kent. And who his father was. It was about family and home. And whenever you take that out, it takes that was the emotional center of the story in the comics. And he doesn't really have to deal with, is he Kryptonian? Is he an Earthling? Mm-hmm. And so that never really comes to the fore. It's really more with Kara. And that's why my takeaway is like, you know, it was really more of a Supergirl story for me.
Yeah.
You know? Hell, she saved the damn planet.
Yeah, and I thought her design was great.
Awesome.
I liked her design. I thought Paul noted in his review on iFanboy.com that the colors were a little different, which I really liked from Superman.
Yeah, he has like more of a teal, and then she's got a, like, there's more blue in the costumes.
She's got a crimson, too, in her red.
Right, the red is different.
Mm-hmm. I liked her a lot. She's probably my favorite portion of the film.
I think she was saddled a bit with some exposition with like going back, like the flashback to Krypton and everything, and so I wish she didn't have to deal with that stuff. But yeah, she comes into her own, and the performance was always great. I thought Molly Quinn was very good, and I thought what was it, Frances Conroy as Ma Kent. Mm-hmm. So whoa, I was like, I wasn't expecting that. That wasn't one of the, you know, the casting choices that I was consciously thinking about going in. And she has a very small scene, but it's great. which was a great choice for Martha Kent. And then Brainiac, creepy, John sinister Noble's as hell. Really good, yeah. Yeah, John Noble's fantastic.
He was very good. Very good. I enjoyed all of the Brainiac scenes. But like I was kind of saying earlier, it kind of felt like they kept – there was no like build up to the ultimate fight. They were fighting the entire movie.
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay, get over it now, you know, get on to the next thing. So I think there was like one fight scene too many between the two of them. But I mean, that's kind of a nit.
I think the strongest portion for Superman himself was when he was in Kandor and when he was reunited or, you know, first like basically introduced to his aunt and uncle, Zor-El. And then having to deal with the fact that he's slightly depowered and is basically trying to get the attention of Brainiac and his androids get captured again so he can confront Brainiac. I thought that stuff and then the ending where he finds a new planet and sets Kandor down and it's able to flourish again and grow and become a new colony, really, for Krypton was a really good setup if they wanted to do a new Krypton movie, which I think was unfairly maligned when it was in, you know, coming out in issues, that storyline.
Oh, I like that storyline a lot, yeah.
I think it gets a little convoluted towards the end and it like it's not entirely cohesive, but the beginning and the setup, that sort of that whole situation, I think would make for a really strong movie. I think it's a great turn for Kal-El and like actually having an alternative to Earth that he could decide if he wanted to, he could live amongst his own people,
mm-hmm.
which is a nice challenge to set down for that character and his struggle. So I hope that they explore that. I'd have no idea if they will, but.
Well, I don't think so. I think it's more of a, you know, one shot sort of tale, but I don't know. I just find myself not really looking for, like all the ones I've seen that I've really liked, I've wanted to watch again or thought about parts I really liked. This one has sort of gone through my head and out the other side and not really remained, which is the first time this has really happened since, I think, Green Lantern.
Hmm. Well, they've been talking lately about the fact that they don't want to be so beholden to the original stories. And maybe this is an instance of departing from the original story. And if it's not, you know, a slam dunk, I think there are some interesting ideas in there. And I look forward to whatever's next. Now, whatever, you know, Flashpoint Paradox is next. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, we don't quite know yet.
That's going to be interesting.
Well, it's interesting because we, you know, in the past, we would often worry that these were going to stop. You know, and the end of the show used to be filled with, you know, when is this going to end? And usually we know what's coming two down. We only know the next one is Flashpoint, which, according to the featurettes, it's very Flash-centric. So everyone has been wanting a Flash movie. This is probably the only one you're going to get unless a live-action film gets made. But beyond that, we don't know anything. They haven't hinted at anything. They haven't talked about anything. They haven't released anything. Mm-hmm. And if you go by the Wikipedia listed grosses, which you know, obviously they're probably not 100% accurate, they've taken a real nosedive on these in the last year. The grosses have gone way down, so we'll see what happens.
It's been a good run.
Yeah, it's been a great run.
I don't want to out the actual website, and partially because I don't remember which one it was, but somebody posted an article last night saying that they might use unproduced scripts from live action properties. And like, you know, like someone mentioned the Green Arrow, the prison movie that somebody wanted to do, and a J.J. Abrams Superman story. And then you go, but you read the actual article and it gets down to Geoff Johns. And basically someone asked him if they do that. And he's like, anything's possible.
Yeah.
But they framed an entire article around the fact that they might be doing that. Well, they might be doing a lot of things, but
yeah.
So we have no idea what's coming.
I'm hoping next. Flashpoint looks really interesting and actually looks exciting.
In spite of myself, I'm watching it might
work better animated than it did in the comics. Honestly,
it's a really great cast.
Really great cast.
The animatics that they did show, so it's not finished animation, but its animatics look more exciting than the animation in this finished property. So it's more fluid, more expressive, and the action looks great. And there's a lot of cool characters. And like Flashpoint in and of itself, it's a pretty interesting concept. There's a lot of fun to be had there. It's a big what if.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of what ifs bundled together.
Which is what they talk about in the featurette about how it's basically a big what-if story, and that allows them to play with the characters much more and do different things they wouldn't be able to do. And
I like that they have Sam Daly as the Superman here, the son of the traditional Superman. So I think that like it's they're making smart choices in casting, and it looks good. So, like, I think I'm hopeful that it's more concise than what happened in the comics.
I think it'd be really funny if they took that as a point to go off and start making New 52 animated movies.
Like, people were asking about that online. They were saying, "Do you think?"
I don't think that's going to happen. But I think it'd be funny if they did do it that way. I would laugh. I don't think it'll happen though. But you know, in the meantime, I'm hoping for an exciting film. I just
so many gems in the New 52.
There's a couple small cubic zirconias there.
So many wonderful stories, wonderful tales.
You could probably do Court of the Owls. That's probably about it. Anyway,
zero years.
Superman Unbound. I feel kind of bad, but I don't. It just sort of happened. It unfolded before my eyes. I didn't really engage in it too much.
So,
but they can't all be winners.
Pardon his candor.
In the meantime, you can go to fanboy.com. You can read Paul's full review of the movie. You can also talk about what you thought when you saw the film, whether or not you enjoyed it, and talk about what your feelings on coming up with Flashpoint and how they're not going to do New 52 movies, which I'd be shocked if they might do one. I wouldn't be surprised if they did maybe took one or two stories, but in the future. But they're not going to change over. That would be silly. Even Chris's dogs agree that would be silly.
Oh, hi, Georgia.
So July is Flashpoint, correct?
Right.
So until July, when Flashback comes out, we'll reconvene. And maybe Ryan will be here. Maybe he won't. Maybe he'll be on probation. Or maybe we'll make him do it by himself, just as a way to make up for missing two in a row. Until then, I'm Connor.
I'm Paul.
I'm Chris.